Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Matt Smith. In the 17th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, Matt will discuss the last two matches performed from a coaching perspective, and boy, are those two matches different. Later on, we'll have another edition of You're the Head Coach, and Matt will discuss what he would do if he was the head coach for Fulham. We have plenty to get through before we get started. I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well, Russ. Yeah, like you said, very contrasting. You know, couldn't be two performances that were at both ends of the spectrum. So looking forward to getting into it.
Absolutely. I look forward to getting your take on both of these matches. But before we do that, we talked about this off air. I want to get your take on Chris Baird coming back to Fulham. I'm all for the move. I'll be curious what you think about it. I just want to read this tweet. It comes from the club. Slavica just did his presser, and this is the last tweet from Slavica. This is right on the Fulham Football Club Twitter page. It says, Jokanović says he tried to bring in Chris Baird in last month, but he's pleased to get him into Fulham in the end. So apparently he tried to get him in last month, which I find very interesting. All right, Matt, what are your thoughts about Bairdinho coming back to Fulham?
Well, I think it's mainly there's a very good point for why I think it's happening. I think that, you know, somebody who has been a loyal Fulham player in the past. I mean, him and his wife, you know, brush over the fact that they are Fulham supporters. You know, I know his wife has supported the club in a lot of different ways, not just rooting her husband on when he was playing here. But you know, I think that he's going to bring some leadership, some heart. I think the one thing, you know, when you look at his play, I don't think you're going to say that, wow, he's going to take our team to a different level ability-wise. But I don't think that's the point of bringing him in. I think the point of bringing him in is for leadership, a veteran player who's played for the club, who was with the club, you know, in the European tour and things like that, and so has seen the great days, and you know that he is the kind of person that wants to get the club back to that, not for personal gain. He wants to get the club back to where it was, because he really loves the club. So, I think from that respect, I think it's a great move. It's always great to bring in somebody who is a Fulham man, and you know, hopefully he'll be able to affect the team off the field that can kind of lead to it on the field. But in terms of just simple, you know, pure through and through ability and how he's going to affect it on the pitch, I don't think you're going to see that as much, but I think you may see some of the things that maybe just the little things that he brings, you know, the character that he brings, how hard he plays, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and we'll fight and die for the club if necessary.
Listen, I'm all about that, and those are the reasons why I'm glad that Chris Baird's coming back. Again, he's going to be turning 34 very soon. So he's not going to be the exact same player that we remember him a few years ago, but it's the leadership quality that I think is needed, and I'm glad that he's coming back. Matt, I've seen some Twitter feedback on him coming back. I saw some people talking about Clint Dempsey, you know, that it didn't work with Clint Dempsey coming back, but I think the situations are very different. Wouldn't you agree? Because I think that Baird coming back, he's been playing. When Dempsey came to us, I believe he was coming off of an injury with Seattle Sounders and was not fully fit. So I don't see these situations as the same. Do you agree?
No, I think they're completely different. I completely agree. I think it's apples and oranges. I think when you talk about the two players and kind of what we're bringing them in for, I think we were bringing Dempsey back to really kind of ignite us and to be kind of a lightning bolt. I think we're bringing Baird back more to influence the team in the locker room and in training and, you know, that kind of stuff. So completely different kind of situation. Like you said, you know, it's been a longer time since Baird has been gone than it was when Dempsey left and came back. So, you know, I think that this is clearly a managerial move in order to kind of spark something off the field, whereas I think Dempsey was more of a move to spark things on the field, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense, and that's why I see these situations as different. And listen, Bear was one of my favorite players when he was with Fulham. You could put him in several different positions, as David Holly actually tweeted to me. You know that he, you know, you could put him at a fullback position. You could put him in midfield. You could even put him at center back. You could put him pretty much everywhere. I wouldn't advise putting him up front, but you could put him in so many different positions, Matt. But the most important thing for me, it goes back to the leadership.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's what it's all about. And yeah, versatility is going to be big. I think he can play, you know, a bunch of different places, and so he could kind of fill in. And obviously, you know, with the reaction that you know that Garbutt had, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more, you know, with coming off and stuff like that. You know, I saw somebody mention on Facebook, you know, please stop signing defenders. Well, that's kind of our biggest issue right now. So why would you not still go looking for the answer? You know, I would say. You know, do we need another striker? Yeah, we do. But those are harder to get in the loan window. But you know, I think that's right now Jurkanović is looking for the answer in the back. And so, you know, I think that's where Baird kind of pops in. I don't think, like I said, I don't think that he's not going to make us better technically or tactically or whatever. But I think he's going to make us better. And hopefully his influence can shine through in terms of just his leadership.
I totally agree. Like I said, the two things that, for me, that I'm looking forward to seeing from Chris Baird is versatility, like you mentioned, and then, of course, leadership. And I think I just think this is a good move for Fulham to bring him back, and I look forward to seeing Chris Baird play again at Craven Cottage. And who knows, we might see him tomorrow. We are recording this on a Friday before the Charlton Athletic match. We might see him on Saturday. All right, Matt, there's no easy way to do this. We have two matches to go through. Why don't we start with the ugly first? Let's talk about the match Tuesday night, Blackburn versus Fulham. Fulham go down 3-0, and I did watch this. You watched it as well, and I needed to see it for myself, and I'll just start with my opening thoughts. What I listened to was not as bad as what I watched. What I watched was very bad. And I just saw mistake after mistake, silly mistakes, silly passes, and a lack of intensity. That's what I got out of watching back the Blackburn loss. What are your overall thoughts on what you watched?
I saw a lack of intensity. I saw a lack of what I call just simple want to. You know, what were we really looking to do? We sat in, we dropped in. You know, way too deep. I mean, this is a team that's below us. Well, not anymore, but this is a team that was below us. You know, it was miserable conditions, but like Gentleman Jim said, that's not really an excuse because they're the same conditions for the other team. So you can't really, you know, use that as a crutch. But, you know, it was simple lack of focus, lack of drive, lack of, you know, I didn't see once in watching it back somebody really try to spur the guys on. You know, it was very, very frustrating, especially it's unfortunately the only thing we've been consistent at over the past two seasons is being inconsistent. And so, you know, that's the most frustrating thing is coming off the performance that we had on the weekend. You know, you're really excited as fans, we're really excited as a coach. I would be very, very excited about, hey, listen, now we're kind of getting on the right track. This happens, and it kind of knocks you back a peg, kind of one step forward, two steps back, and all of a sudden now Blackburn are ahead of us, you know, and we're right back in the scrap. You know, I think that it was really a big opportunity for us to get two wins on the trot, which I think is something I'm not even sure we've done that this year. If we have, I think we've only done it once, you know, in the league, so or once or twice. So, you know, it's really, really disheartening, and, you know, it's just something that – hopefully the guys can bounce back from, and but you know it's a tough thing, and you know we dealt with what you really wanted to see was just a scrappy performance because it was horrible conditions. It's midweek, you know, in Blackburn. It's not a glamorous place to go play. You know, you wish you would have just seen a scrappy performance, kind of how we saw last year against Rotherham away midweek early in the season. And you were hoping for that. Unfortunately, you got what you got, and it was a bunch of silly passes, a lot of just unfocused passing, just kind of hitting and hoping, you know, not really having a purpose with a lot of the play. And you know, honestly, we got what we deserved is a thorough drubbing.
I couldn't agree more. You know, 3-0 was probably the right result. It could have been worse, honestly. But I want to go back to early in this match. You know, Fulham actually had a couple of opportunities to score. They do not, you know, but they had some decent opportunities to score, but couldn't convert. Then you have the goal in the 15th minute. You have the situation with Luke Garbutt following the player in the box. I believe it was Ben Marshall, and then they score on the penalty and they go up 1-0. Let me ask you: do you think it was going downhill before that, or do you think, for whatever reason, giving up this goal just set up a chain of events that they could not recover? And if that's the case, why couldn't they recover?
Well, I honestly, like you said, the first 15 minutes was, I mean, at worst, it was an even match. I mean, I thought we actually did some decent things. I thought, you know, you kind of come out and you're like, okay, tough place to go, midweek, bad conditions, and yet, hey, we're doing okay the first 15 minutes. The penalty happens and it all just falls apart. You know, horrible challenge. Haven't seen it on replay. I saw it, obviously, I watched it back a couple times, but you didn't see it in slow motion at all during the match. And I mean, it looked like a stone-cold penalty. Yeah, he was a bit theatric with the fall, but just bad positioning, bad body shape from Garbutt, and just, I mean, the sad thing was it looked like a tired tackle 15 minutes in. And why would you look to do that 15 minutes in? I just don't understand kind of where his head was, and it was just, you know, it was very disappointing. And then from there, they really got energized from it, and you know, we kind of went the other way. And so, but you know, starting off, you know, you thought, okay, this isn't going to be too bad. I think we're going to be right in this match and stuff. And then, you know, and then it just kind of went downhill very, very quickly.
It did, and I can understand that Blackburn feeling that they could then take that momentum and build on, and they did. To their credit, they did. But watching back the match, I want to give them credit because they put out a professional performance. I'm talking about Blackburn. They did what they had to do to win. But I wasn't overly impressed by this team. They just did what they had to do to get the victory, and sometimes you need to do that. What disappointed me was the opportunity was still there, Matt, down 1-0. And I saw a lack of intensity, like I said, the bad passing, and no one was on the same page. So that to me is what really upset me is when I watched it back, I just didn't see that they had any answers. And more importantly, they weren't, you know, that intensity wasn't there. And I keep going back to that.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It was as if we didn't want to be there. It was as if we had somewhere better to be. That's very frustrating because this is their job. I think this is the hard thing that a lot of times it's the hard thing that that fans, you know, have a hard time wrapping their heads around is, you know, oh, if I had a chance to do that, I would do this and da da da. And this is, you know, we all have bad days at the office and, you know, and things like that. I get it. But these guys are being paid to put in a professional performance, and they definitely didn't earn their wages. You know, that night. So, you know, hopefully that's kind of the ringing theme right now is, you know, you've got to do this, you know, you've got to earn your paycheck basically. Yeah. So hopefully we can turn this around.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm just going to share a few stats with you from the match. Duels won. Blackburn had 64 duels won to 43 for Fulham. Aerial duels won. Actually, Fulham won that. They were 20-18 in tackles. Blackburn were in favor 26-12. So I think, Matt, those are stats to me that show the lack of intensity.
Yeah, I mean, with the balls in the air, the aerial challenges, I think us winning that is a little bit misleading because I don't think that's Blackburn's game. I think they were outsized in that kind of facet. So that's not surprising that we won that. But you know, the challenges and the tackles, you know, that's something that is sheer determination a lot of times, because you don't have to be the bigger person to win a challenge. You have to be the more determined and the one who's willing to, who's not afraid to. A lot of times what we did is we went into challenges afraid that we were going to lose the ball. When you do that, you almost always lose the ball. You know, you've got to go in there with a, you know, knowing that that's a chance, that there's a chance you're going to do that, but you're going to make it a true 50-50. And, you know, a lot of those what you would think would be true 50-50 balls, you know, actually ended up being 60-40s because we didn't go in with the kind of grit that that you would have hoped that we would have done.
I totally agree. And again, to give credit to Blackburn, they played with urgency. That's another good word. QPR did not play with that urgency. Fulham did when we talk about the next match. That is the difference here. They did not play with that intensity, that urgency to get after it. And I think it was self-evident when you watched back this match. And I wanted to watch it. Listen, the Fulham supporters went down there. Our co-host Mike Gregg went there. And if they're going to go there, I need to watch back the match because I felt bad for them. They didn't deserve that type of performance. They got an extremely lackluster performance. So I wanted to at least watch it. So we could also talk about it because I still want to watch all these matches. It was just so disappointing watching it back, Mac. It really was. And that's going to lead me to ask you about this because this is something that David Holly and I have talked about many times. We wanted to see the 3-5-2. It worked so well. We're going to talk about the QPR match moving forward. But looking back at the Blackburn match, why do you think it worked so well against QPR but did not work as well against Blackburn? I'm curious.
Well, I think that you've got to start to think about less about what the formation is and more about how we played it. Not that we played it, it's how we played it. Against QPR, we were high-intensity defending and attacking. It's very easy when it's a constant tempo for your team. It is a lot easier to go from one to the other. We defended very slowly, so we dropped in a little bit deeper. We didn't mind them having the ball. We weren't putting pressure on the ball. Even when players would start to dribble forward, we would still drop off. We weren't really confronting early enough like we were against QPR. And then when we got the ball, then we tried to go fast. And then you saw things break down because it's very hard to go from a slow, low intensity, low pressure defensive tempo to a fast attacking tempo. And it's very difficult to kind of switch that on and off as many times as the ball gets turned over in a football match. So when you can play at a constant tempo on either side of the ball, no matter if you're attacking or defending, the game's going to flow a little bit easier for you because mentally you're always switched on to the same tempo. When you have to mentally switch tempos over and over again, it becomes hard to fully get into one or the other because the ball ends up being turned over so much, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I saw was the hard thing, was that we were defending at a slow tempo and trying to attack at a fast tempo. And that's just very, very difficult. It's very difficult to do no matter what level player you are. When we play the high tempo defensively and we are running after things, chasing things down, chasing the lost cause, confronting 1v1 defending in a much more aggressive style, it becomes so much easier and so much more fluid to translate that to the attacking side.
That actually makes perfect sense. You're matching the intensity defensively and offensively. And while you were saying that, I was thinking about the match and what I watched, and I think you analyzed that fantastically because that's kind of the way it was. You know, they would try to ramp up that intensity going forward, but defensively they didn't have that same intensity. So to turn it on and off probably was an issue with the flow, and that might be why we did not have that constant flow that we saw in the QPR match that we're going to be talking about in a little bit. But before we do, one last thing I want to talk about this Blackburn match. Slavisa was very critical after the match regarding the performance of his team. Let me ask you, should he also have been critical of himself and his coaching staff for the result in this match?
Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. But just from the short track record that Jokanović has with us, I don't think you would ever say what we've seen would say that he didn't come to the match prepared, ready to go, and intense. I don't think there's ever been a sign of that. So I would probably side towards him a little bit. I think that, to really what he's trying to do is he's still trying to set some groundwork. He's still trying to kind of show his team what he's all about. I think that if you take all the blame on yourselves and take it off the players very early, that becomes the expectation from the players. And so as long as he's consistent about what he does, and it seems like he's been very consistent in his energy, his motivation, his intensity, I don't think the players can have a whole lot of complaints, really.
Okay, so for you, it's putting the blame on them so they can learn from it and build from this moving forward. And it's a very good point by you, Matt, that he is well prepared, and I think they were prepared to play this match. I'm talking about from a coaching perspective, but I was also thinking, listen, I'm spoiled here. I'm a fan of the New England Patriots, and when the Patriots lose, Coach Belichick puts blame on everything. So that's kind of where I was going on that. Does it make sense to also put it on himself because it is a team?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I said, there's plenty of, if you want to call it blame or justification or whatever, definitely to go around. And, I think, if he were able to kind of sit back, those interviews and the one that he gave was, very shortly after the match, and I'm sure his adrenaline was still running and that kind of thing. And so I'm sure if he had time to sit back and look at it, he would say, okay, well, why did I not have them ready to perform like I wanted them to perform? The execution at the end of the day is on the players, but, you always ask yourself, what can I get them to do or what can I make them do to have them ready to execute more effectively? And so I think
right.
That's probably where he would – that's probably what he would put on himself is, they didn't execute it well, but what did I do to not put them in the position to execute well?
No, very good point. And, let me be straight out here. I think Slavica Jokanović is the right head coach for Fulham Football Club, and I think he's doing a very good job so far. And this is just me – being used to what I'm used to from a head coach, and I was a little taken back by it, but now that we've talked about it, I think I understand as a coach where you're coming from on and where he's probably coming from, and especially right after the match, so that does make sense. It's just, I guess you could say it's a preference for me that if you lose as a team, but I understand where you're coming from there, Matt. That's why I'm glad that we can do this show, so you can bring a coach's perspective to it.
Yeah, and coaches, and I've always said this, and I'm sure a lot of coaches look at it like this, is that as a coach, I have zero wins, and every loss I have every loss, and so I'm sure he's probably been able to deal with that and work with the team. Every win you give to the players, every loss you try to make yourself better in order to improve the team. So I'm sure he's looking to do that.
No, I agree with you, and I know it sounds like I'm being very critical of Slavica. Again, this is just what I'm used to, Matt. It's what I deal with here. So for him not to mention himself, I just had to bring it to you. But you bring up a very good reason why he probably didn't, and it's fine. That makes sense. That's why I wanted to have the conversation from you. And like you said, you're a coach, so you can really relate to what he's going through. All right, enough with the bad. Let's talk about some of the good. Let's talk about the QPR match. And just what were your overall thoughts when you watched this Saturday morning?
One of the best performances we've had all season. Especially away from home, even though it's only about a mile and a half as the crow flies. In a big game, big derby, it's a game that, both sets of fans are going to be up for. It's going to be a good atmosphere. And we stepped in there and we're fearless. And, when we took the game to them and played the game at a very fast pace, a pace that honestly they weren't ready for. You step out of that and you go, wow, this is what it could be. It makes the Blackburn performance so much more frustrating. And I deal with this with players all the time I've said to players before, after you do something really well and execute perfectly, you've raised the bar of expectations. And so you've got to be able to step up to that every single time. And, they definitely raised the bar that day, which is why we were hoping for so much more, in midweek. But, just a fantastic performance all the way around. Hated that we couldn't keep a clean sheet, but, to win, I believe, 7-1 on aggregate over the during the year, knock on wood, we've kind of had QPR's number. I think they've beat us one time in the last 10, I think, 10 or 11 matches overall. So, it's something that was great to see. And there's really two games all year that I really really want to win in the league, and that's these two games. And so it definitely made us happy. We were able to watch the match. Heather and I were able to watch the match in Atlanta with Jason down there nice and early. But it was a lot of fun, and just fun to watch. It looked like they were enjoying their football. You know, when they just the way the passing, the movement off the ball, some of the patterns of play, how we were using the third man in runs. You know, where you play into a forward, and you have a player who wasn't even in the play now is in the play, and they find them. It was just very, very fun to watch, and something that, you know, if we can replicate, we'll be just fine. If it's something we can replicate over the course of and bleeding into next season, then it's something that's the team that we're going to be looking at, in terms of challenging for the playoffs.
What was great is that this gave you a glimpse of what they can be. And if they could consistently play like this, like you said, next season could be fantastic. So let's talk about let's break this up into two parts. Let's talk about attacking wise. What were your observations there? Obviously, we saw the free flow in football, but go in a little bit of details on what we looked like in the 3-5-2.
Yeah, I mean, we were very patient and very but fast. I know those are two sometimes contradicting words, but we weren't. I didn't see us trying to force things. I saw us have a lot of options. I saw very good movement from the front two, which allowed the outside midfielders a lot of freedom to kind of do their thing. We were getting the ball higher up the field to our forwards. They weren't having to drop in, too deep into the middle of the field to get the ball. And really, I think the key to us being effective attacking in that match was how well our center midfielders were playing, and how they were able to win the ball back quickly in good spaces, and so we could go forward. We switched the point of attack very well. We kind of kept them on their heels. Had some very good opportunities in terms of beating people 1v1. And so we were just very aggressive, and we were usually what happens is one team controls and dictates the tempo. And when we can dictate the tempo, we're very, very good. And I think that's what we were able to do. And I think it started from the center midfielders and kind of bled out. I think, the front two were very, very good and very effective. And they kind of, they worked from there. And then you talk about how solid we were. And I think that a big thing was we were able to connect from our backs to our midfield very effectively. We didn't lose the ball a whole lot with those passes. And that's when you're really able to build an attack is if you do win it in the back, can you connect one or two passes, get the ball up to the next level, and then you can kind of work your movement. It allows you to get into your attacking shape a little bit more and a little bit more effectively when you can keep the ball and connect two simple passes and allow yourself to get into that shape.
Very good. Again, each part connecting to each other. Let's talk about two players that I think were extremely influential in this game. We talked about it on the post-match show. Jamie O'Hara and Tom Candy, right in the center of it. Talk about their play and how they linked up with McCormack and Dembele.
Well, it was Jamie O'Hara of old. It's been a while since we've seen a performance like that. Kearney's been fantastic. I think he's really come on of the players coming in. Him and O'Hara. Harris started out well. Kearney took a couple games to get into it, but now he's one of our more effective players. The way they were able to find pockets of space in the middle of the field, and be dangerous with and find options and make very intelligent passes. Not play the obvious pass, be able to look a player off and then, play a ball unpredictably to somebody else. And, that kind of stuff, it really is contagious when you really get it flowing. And Kearney is really a free flowing player. He is somebody that loves to play the game, loves to play, attractive soccer, if you will. So, that kind of stuff can be contagious when it's kind of rolling, and then you just build on your confidence and it kind of just takes off from there.
Okay, very good, Matt. Let's now turn to the part of the match that really interests me, because to me, this is the major positive I got of it. I know we're talking about the goals and going forward. Defensively, we were extremely solid. Talk about your observations on the defense in this match.
Well, I've been very impressed with Mattel. I think that he is clearly one of Yakanovich's type of player. He's you know, very hard nosed, very no nonsense. It seems like a very, very intelligent player as well. For his size, how good he is in the air is impressive. Winning challenges in the air and timing his jumps, and he's one that just likes to, is really getting after it and getting his nose dirty, but at the same time he's doing it in a very intelligent way. He reads the game very well. He anticipates very well. That I think has helped us tremendously already. We were very good in the back. Again, we were very good at winning the ball and keeping it. We kept a tight defense. I think that QPR were definitely missing Charlie Austin. I don't think there's a doubt about that. They were kind of searching for kind of that next player who's going to step up and score goals for them. And I think that really we caught him kind of at the right time where they're still kind of adjusting to life without him. Where the goals are going to come from and things like that. So, very solid defensively. And I think that's something, again, that, Yakanovich has talked about was his main concern. And, it was actually a pretty impressive and very clean performance.
Okay, let's talk about the play of Andy Lonergan. I noticed a little bit of a difference in this. He was more aggressive in this match. It seemed to obviously made some key saves. But I'm curious your analysis of his play in this match.
Yeah, I thought he played very well. I thought that he really organized the defense very well. He is known for the big save and he has been able to kind of pull us out of some trouble and things like that. I thought that he was extremely effective. I thought his distribution was very good. I thought that he really kind of controlled things back there and made a lot of things look relatively easy. And that's kind of a sign of some an effective goalkeeper is, you've got to be able to pull out a save every now and again. But the easier you make it look, the better. I mean, I'm looking at a statistic right now and I talk about his his distribution. I mean, he had 100% accuracy on his throws. And we even kept possession 55% of his goal kicks, which is actually pretty rare. That's to 22% of QPR. So, not only being effective in terms of keeping the ball out of the net, but in terms of, having us keep the ball and keep possession, I think was definitely big.
Okay, very good there, Matt. I was just really curious about your thoughts on Andy Lonergan. I think you did a really nice job of analyzing that. All right, Matt, overall, let's just talk about the positives in this match for Fulham.
Oh, I think there's an endless list. I think that the fact that we were able to keep our forwards high and not have them have to drop back and defend, too deep and get the ball too deep was big. I think that came from the fact that we won the battle in the center midfield, which allows them to stay higher. So they don't have to come back and add numbers defensively. He scored very nice goals. and we were even decent, on corners other than, the set piece, I guess. I think if I'm remembering correctly, the goal came from a set piece. I think overall it's just, again, you could throw a dart blind and hit something positive that we did. So just something that I think hopefully we can build on, hopefully what you can do. And I know, I guess maybe an American football reference is sometimes when you have a performance like we did midweek, I've heard of coaches going out and burying the football and saying, this game is over. Let's go back. Let's forget it. This one, let's throw out the film. Let's go back and watch our performance that was good and let's build off that. And I think this is going to be kind of a landmark performance of hopefully that we can draw back on when things start to go bad.
It's a good point, and that does happen with American football. They do something symbolic. I don't know if Slavis is going to do something like that, but I understand where you're going on that. Try to learn from this, but also focus on how well I'm talking about the Blackburn match. You have to learn from your your bad performances, but focus on the good performances like this one that we're talking about against QPR, because you can see what you can be on a consistent basis if you played like this. All right, Matt, but we do have to talk about the negatives, and there was one glaring one with me, and that's obviously late in the match, giving up the late goal. Was that the only negative in this match for you?
For me, it was. I think over the 90 minutes, and I can't really think of one. Obviously, me being a goalkeeper, giving up a late goal, I'm sure will eat at Andy Lonergan. I'm sure that'll eat at him, because you always want to keep a clean sheet. But, the result at that point was never in doubt. You're not really going to harp on it too much, except for, hey, guys, we've got to keep focused for 90 minutes. And when it gets tough, you've got to, at the end of the match, you've got to focus for that. Because actually, after that goal, they actually had one more opportunity, that could have made it 3-2, which could have changed the game completely. So you've got to keep focus and not give a team any reason to hope. You've got to make them think about, yeah, in this final, the sooner the final whistle comes, the better kind of thing. That for me is definitely the only negative. It's still kind of a thing for us. We've got to keep clean sheets. We score a bunch of goals, but we let in a bunch of goals. I think that, we're tops in goals allowed, but I think we're in the top two or three in goals for. So, that's when you can start changing, like we talked about before, changing losses into draws into wins, is when you stop just giving up, some silly goals. And so I'm sure he, knowing him, I'm sure he probably didn't let them, just float by with giving up that late goal and trying to refocus them.
Okay, excellent. And before we move on, Matt, while you were talking about this, I was thinking about how successful we were on focusing on the pauses, talking about the differences between these two matches. I'm going to give you an example where I see a difference between the two matches, and it was pivotal early on in the second half. I want to say it was the very first minute they had a free kick, and in a very dangerous area. And you will notice on the free kick that Scott Parker comes flying in and blocks the shot. To me, Matt, that shows the differences between the two matches, the intensity, and the difference of him doing that in that match. It was not part of the Blackburn loss, but that is the type of intensity, that focus that you need each and every match. Talk about that and how pivotal that moment was.
Well, I think it was definitely a huge spark. When somebody makes a big play, or just an effort play, as I would call it, that has nothing to do, what he did there has nothing to do with ability, nothing to do with tactics, nothing to do with skill. It was all just effort and heart and, his willingness to really put his body in the line, to keep a chance from happening. Which is something that we definitely need to see a little bit more consistently. But I think that was a huge spark that, what he said there by his action was, we're not letting you in this match.
That, exactly.
We gave away a free kick, but you know what? I'm going to make sure that it comes to nothing, because I am not going to let you breathe. I'm not going to let you settle down. I'm not going to let you settle into the game. We are going to keep you on your heels. We're going to keep being the aggressor, and we're going to push forward. And if you can't match that pace, I'm sorry, but you're going to get beaten. And so that's what I saw that was being said and being shown from that action.
And listen, there are other examples as well, but that's the one that really stands out to me, and how important that moment in the match was, basically saying, you're not getting anything from this match. You're not winning this match. We're going to take it from you. We're going to be more intense than you, and we are going to get after it. And he led by example. That, to me, was another example of leadership and what is needed each and every week. So Scotty Parker was fantastic in this match. We really haven't talked about him, but he really showed his leadership in that match. All right, Matt, let's move on, because I really want to end by talking about this week, talking about training in this week, what Slavica might have been doing, what you would be doing leading up to this huge match tomorrow against Charlton Athletic. So you're the head coach. What would you be working on in training this week to improve the attack against Charlton Athletic?
I think every day you sit down, every chance you have, you sit down and you watch the film of the QPR match and some of the flowing stuff that we are playing. I think that you consistently remind yourself and remind your team of what they can do when we're playing at pace and running at people and being dangerous. I think you do that every chance you get. Like I said, you take that Blackburn video and you throw it in the furnace. You concentrate on kind of, you remind yourself that, this is how we're dangerous and this is how we're going to score goals. And then you take that and you translate that into some exercises, on the pitch, whether it's a simple finishing exercise just to get their confidence up, and then you build from there. You've got to, and I think we've got to use our width and get our wingers higher up the field as well. I think that's, one thing that possibly that Jurkanović was upset with Garbutt about with it was his positioning and how deep he kept playing. So he put on Kaká to try to bring in more attacking kind of personality. I think that's what he'll be working on is, let's get higher up the field. Let's get our wingers involved a little bit earlier, higher up the field. That's really going to stretch people and really going to allow Ross and Musa to really do their thing in the middle.
Okay, very good. Let's now switch to the defense. What would you be working on training this week to improve the defense for this match against Charlton Athletic?
I think it would be a week where you really challenge them in training sessions to be physical. You challenge them to be you put them in situations where they've got to fight for a ball and then keep possession. You've got to put them in situations where their number's down and they're having to really organize things and keep things tight and even do things where they've got to block shots and put their bodies in the way and really just put them in situations to either be mentally and physically engaged or they lose. And so I think the more that you can do that, the more that you can train that into them, the easier it is to kind of translate that, onto the field during a game. So typically what I do is I'll overtrain it. So where in a game, you don't really see numbers down situations that often. You might see a 4v3 or 5v4, something like that. But, what I would do is I would basically what I call overload training to where it would be 7 against 3, seven attackers against 3 defenders. You guys have to figure it out. You got to put you got to be able to be patient, and you don't want to go crazy going in to win a ball because you'd leave yourself down another number and take yourself out of the play. But at the same time, when you get a chance to win it, you better go win it because, if the longer they have the ball, the easier it is going to be to be around you. So you really try to do overload training so that when they step into a match, it seems a little bit easier, if you will, in terms of organization stuff.
Okay, very good there, Matt. And before we talk specifically about the Charlton match, I do want to mention this because I think this will go into our conversation. Because I'm looking forward to seeing how we play defensively, and this is unfortunate news. I hope he can play, but this is the team news from the club. This is about an hour ago. Dan Byrne has a hamstring issue and will be assessed ahead of tomorrow's game. Matt, if for some reason Dan Byrne cannot play, who would you have in his role?
Oh, that's a good question because I think Dan Byrne's been very, very good. Over the past couple games, he's really kind of solidified his spot. He was honestly, in the attack, in terms of keeping possession against Blackburn, he wasn't fantastic. Nobody really was, but in terms of just his overall work rate and things like that, he's been fantastic. So that would be a big loss. I think unfortunately for me, because I don't really care for him, but you could see Maddle slide central and bring back in Richards. You could see Fredericks drop back, Maddle slide in, possibly bring in, Kaká on the right-hand side, or LVC or, whoever. So, but that would be a big loss. I don't think you'll see, you could see Baird at right back as well at Maddle's, but I think that's what you'll probably see. You'll probably see Maddle slide in, I still think Stearman's in the doghouse for some reason. We still haven't really found
yep.
out what's going on with that, so I don't think you'll necessarily see him. But it'll be a big miss because he's actually been very, very good in the over the past month. So let's hope that he can get through his fitness test.
I hope so. I hope he plays. And Dan Byrne has been a bright light this season. And it is a case, Matt. The more that he plays, the better he gets. And I hope he's okay. I hope he does play. But it's just an interesting discussion. What do they do if he doesn't play? Because I think that can change how Fulham play tomorrow. So we'll have to wait and see when the starting 11 come up to see if he's a part of it or on the bench. All right, Matt. Let's just talk about this Charlton match. You're the head coach. What type of changes would you be making in this upcoming match against Charlton?
Well, I think Garbutt's out. I think after his reaction to being subbed off and just kind of the petulance that he showed, I think that you'll see him I would think that you probably see him move to the bench at best. I think you're going to see some more attack-minded players. When we played them earlier in the season at their place, I think that we were on the front foot and actually made some negative substitutions towards the end of Kidd's tenure. And I think that you're going to see probably a pretty opposite reaction to that. I think we're going to go pretty attacking. I think that, especially if Byrne can play, you feel pretty comfortable about the back line. And I think that what you're going to try to do is really kind of put them on their heels. And so you're going to see two attack-minded outside midfielders. So you might see Kaká on the left and Fredericks on the right to really try to get after him with pace and really try to exploit some of their weaknesses and see if you can't get the midfielders a little bit more involved in the attack. I felt like we were a little bit under pressure midweek, so we started to play longer balls and things like that. And in that case, the midfielders weren't very involved. So I think that's what you got to do is you got to get them involved, get them on the ball, and let them dictate tempo.
Okay, very good, Matt. Before we wrap up the show, this is something that I want to ask you, especially under Slavisa. Why are we seeing either these really good performances or horrible performances? Why is there no middle ground right now?
It's always hard to put your finger on, especially from the outside. You worry about consistency all the time, and you worry about that as a manager or a head coach. I think you worry about keeping your team consistent, keeping yourself consistent, keeping your staff consistent, and everything you do, not just on the training field, but trying to keep routine and trying to keep everything kind of normal, if you will, so you can so hopefully that kind of bleeds onto the field. But it is definitely troubling. I think that I think that at the end of the day, we would take consistent above average performances over not knowing what we're going to get from week to week. I've always dealt with players like that, where if I had two players and one has a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but one's consistent, the one that's consistent is going to play because I know what I'm going to get from them. Their high may not be as the other player's high, but their low is not going to be as low as the other player's low. And I think that's kind of what you go off of is okay, what's the worst they're going to play? Okay, it's better than them, so they're going to be the ones on the field. You just try to build that consistency and things like that. So it's hard to put our finger on from here, I think they're still getting used to them. So I patience is key, but also urgency. So you have to be patient and urgent at the same time.
It's a tough situation. Let me ask you: do you think he's still evaluating what he has?
I think so. I think that's why you haven't seen. You've seen some tweaks and changes from week to week. So, in terms of how formation that we're playing or players that are playing and what positions and things like that. So, he is still trying to evaluate, and he's probably going to be evaluating for the rest of the year. He's probably saying, all right, guys, you're playing for your next year's contract. You're playing for your spot next year, and we're going to find out what we have, so that we need to find out what we need to get for next year. So I think that it is an evaluation process, and it could last the rest of the season. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that plays out.
Okay, excellent there, Matt. All right, just to end the show, any final thoughts from you?
Well, I think this is a must-win game for us this weekend. I think it's going to be a big one. It's another team that's below us. We need to get 3 points at home. To start to inch our way up to mid-table so that we can get out of danger. So we're not, down the stretch in April and May, we're not, looking behind us. So tomorrow is going to be big, and hopefully we can come out with the 3 points.
I hope so. I think this match is really huge and could dictate the rest of the season. I keep saying that, but this one really is. It's a six-pointer. They desperately need this this match to get away from the relegation zone. Then we could really go through what we're talking about, a real evaluation process, looking forward to next season, see how high up we can go. But if they get this victory, this is pretty big, especially it'll show that they can rebound from such a bad performance against Blackburn. Well, my friend, this was a lot of fun. Thank you, as always, for doing this with me.
Hey, had a lot of fun. Always good to be on with you. Always good to talk Fulham, and can't wait to do the next one.
I'm looking forward to it as well, my friend. Well, that's going to do it for the 17th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. From Matt, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, bud.
Boys.